very important conversation with Itamar Marcus explaining the claim by the Islamic preacher last Friday that made a statement the Israelis were digging underneath the Temple Mount. Want to stay on top of all of these stories to get the truth to you, my friend. So glad that you could join us here on Prophecy Today. Well, another friend of ours, Itamar, and my next guest, Winky Medad, are pretty good buddies as well. But they're friends that I'd like to be able to call upon to give us the latest information on what may be happening. Just this last Wednesday, Yom Kippur, the holiest of the Jewish holy days. And Winky, I want to ask you about that, your thoughts about that blessed day for the Jewish people. I can tell you this, a lot of talk about it in Christian circles. I'm talking about Yom Kippur and the holiness of that particular day and how Christians ought to be following an example of holiness. It is key. It's God's plan for each and every one of us. So, Winky Medad, come on to the microphone and let's start talking about it. And just reflect a moment. You don't have to go very long, but when you and your family are going through that special holy day, Yom Kippur, what are your thoughts? How are you interacting with God? Just tell me what a Jewish perspective on that is.
Well, Jimmy, I can only tell you about my own personal approach to Yom Kippur, plus, of course, what my friends and other people do, and my looking out over Jewish people all over in various degrees. We all approach the day in a sense of complete solemnitude, if I can make up a word, with all the solemnness that we can gather. We feel that we simply put ourselves into the synagogue for many hours. The eve of Yom Kippur, we were there almost 3 hours, and from 7:30 to just after 7, with about a two-hour break. So it needs your full concentration on prayer. It could wear you down, Jimmy. You're fasting. Many of the males will be dressed in white. Someone said it's practicing or rehearsing for your eventual moving on into the other world, because in your Jewish religion, you're always dressed in shrouds when you are placed back into the earth. And it's very tiring, too. The prayers are long, but it's a sense of physically wearing you away until you come to terms with what is left, and that is your soul. Hmm. And that, I think, is the essence of Yom Kippur.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. That's very personal, and I so appreciate you doing that. Now, and let me ask you this one thought as well. I know that in 1973, on the day Yom Kippur, there was a Arab attack on the Jewish state of Israel. Do you, during that 25-hour fast, do you ever think about that? Is that off of your mind, or is the government all thinking about it and being prepared for such an event to happen again?
Jimmy, that Yom Kippur of 1973 will really never leave anybody, especially those of us who were here at that time. I had not yet been inducted into the Israeli Defense Forces, so I could not fight. Personally, I was working at Shaarei Tzedek Hospital, which at that time was a downtown inner-city hospital, not as it is today, on the outskirts of Jerusalem. And we immediately went over to a 12-hour shift, which also was very tiring at times, because we began to be serving as a military hospital. So, especially as you can imagine, for a relatively young American, only 3 years in the country, and there I was running around with the wards and trying to deal with the traffic control, which I was eventually put into overnight, and getting drivers to bring nurses and doctors in and out of the hospital. It was heavy. Right? And something like that does not leave you.
Yeah. And there is still that lingering possibility there could be another attack on a Yom Kippur, possibly in the future. Would you not agree?
The possibility exists in minuscule. You'll remember a couple of years ago, the terror tunnels in which Arabs all of a sudden popped out and began running around. While the degree is not the same, the essence that Israel needs constantly to be on its alert And if I can bring the story up to date, Jimmy, Mr. Netanyahu for the past year and a half has been very firm, basically saying, and now I'm translating for him, we will bomb every time a plane comes in from Iran to Syria and is unloading weapons or advanced scientific technology which can improve their missile system all the time.
I've heard it said, and we're going to move now from the solemn to the joyful aspect of the next Jewish feast, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. And I've heard it said, Winky, that as soon as that 25-hour fast on Yom Kippur is over, you go outside, start putting up your sukkah. I don't know if it's exactly that quick. Maybe it is. But talk to us about a sukkah. What indeed is a sukkah? And why is it so key to the Feast of Tabernacles upcoming?
Well, Jimmy, most people do try to do that. Myself, I began to take out the wooden boards that we put up on our patio that would enclose it together with roofing of palm fronds or other sort of material, because you're finishing the year and the first thing you want to do is make sure you're doing the proper thing. You don't want to even let a minute go by and fail yourself and your message to God that you're going to be a better person. So everybody runs out and does something after a glass of water or so, just symbolically even. Even, for example, this morning at synagogue, we came in 5 minutes early just to show that we're anxious to be at prayer and get the year off to a new start. The term tabernacles is, of course, more to be found in the Christian version of the Bible. We call it booths, in which according to the story in the Bible, the children of Israel built themselves booths every time they camped out in the desert at another spot. I think there must have been about 36 or 38 stops along the way from Egypt eventually to the land, the Promised Land. And in fact, you can see them today in the Sinai or in the Negev among the Bedouin in a very sort of primitive way. And so nowadays, of course, we build them a little bit stronger because Jews are no longer in the desert. We're somewhere in either in New York, London, or Moscow sometimes, and so it has to be a little bit stronger. But the idea is that God envelops us, and someone once said, it's the only mitzvah in which you put yourself 100% into it by simply building a booth, and then when the holiday comes, you sit down for the festive meal and make the blessing who has commanded us to build a booth.
And that word booth, is that sukkah in Hebrew?
That's the best that I can find that's been in use in my history of learning. It's sukkah. The Hebrew word lasuch, which is the root I won't get into over the radio, it's difficult, but it means to cover over, mm-hmm. as if you're bending over someone. You can even say that a mother, by extension, is bending over her child to protect him. Mm-hmm. And in Hebrew, you would use the same word. He socheket al ha-yelid. It's a form of the verb, and that's where it comes from, to lean over someone in a protective stance.
Now, this booth, or a sukkah, if we're going to use that term, then is built right after Yom Kippur. You start it, finish it up by the 15th day of the 7th month of Tishri. And at that point, you and the family do a lot of activities there. You have some of your meals there. You might meet with some of your friends or business partners. The children play there. Some of you people in that world of what it was like when they were traveling even spend the evenings and the entire night there in their sukkah, do they not?
Well, strictly speaking, the most Orthodox Jews, your home is outside for the next 7 or 8 days, depending where you are. 7 in Israel, uh-huh. 8 outside the land of Israel in the lands of the diaspora and dispersion. And you're supposed to eat all your meals there, play host to your guests. Many people, not me, I admit, will sleep out outside. Other people find relaxation of that rule if it's too uncomfortable or it's too cold. But there are others who will do that no matter what comes except for rain. So we move out of the house into the sukkah for 7 days, and everything usually, I've known some families even to put a television out there so they don't have to go back inside and watch. Everything is conducted there as much as possible to show that we are, again, placing our trust in God and asking Him to see how we behave on Earth, in this sense, to extend, he should extend to us then his protective, enveloping presence.
I know the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, says that this particular feast is going to be observed, as the way I understand it, for eternity, but I don't know exactly what that means, but I do know that Christians have bought into the concept of celebrating Feast of Tabernacles, and just hundreds and thousands of Christians from all over the world come to join with the Jewish people in Israel and those who've traveled through the land of Israel and made their pilgrimage there. It's always a big celebration, and the Christians and the Jews getting together to honor the Lord through the observance of this celebration. It's a very festive time, isn't it?
It is. I really don't know. Maybe you know more than I do, Jimmy, but why specifically the Feast of Tabernacles was selected. It might be because of the imagery of the other element of the holiday, which is the four species, a palm frond, a closed one, of course, not an open one, with the citrus fruit and the willow and the myrtle branches that we hold in the morning prayers, usually. I won't go into full details, but maybe that sort of recalls to the Christians another element of palm fronds being used on the Easter holiday, and so maybe that sort of cross-pollinated, if I could use that term in a theological sense, but where everybody is welcomed into Jerusalem, as Isaiah says, it will be a house of prayer for all peoples, and so we are excited that other people are participating with us at this festive time.
Well, and indeed, I'm sure that Christians consider for 3,500 years now, thereabouts, the Jewish people have been observing on an annual basis the Feast of Tabernacles. And then when Zechariah talks about it being fulfilled and everybody coming to Jerusalem, going up to Jerusalem, making Aliyah, to do it through a long period into the future, I think that's the Christians looking at the Jews amazed and excited to be a part of what they are doing as we all look to the future. Winky, thank you for sharing some very personal things about Yom Kippur and then the excitement of Sukkah upcoming. And I hope you get your Sukkah built and ready in just a couple of days.
Jimmy, thank you very much. And if anybody of the listeners happen to be here, I hope that they take part in all the activities as much as possible. Visit the booths, the Sukkot, and have a nice time. And again, thank you for having me on the program, and goodbye to you and our listeners.